We're going to begin in 2 Peter chapter 1 today, if you have your Bibles. 2 Peter chapter 1, and let's pray. And we want to welcome all our visitors. I see one visitor there. Hello, Daisy. You can't hide. Sorry, we're not a stadium church yet. But we're so glad you came and joined Rachel and Antonio today. God bless you. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the Word of God. Our breath of life, the very water that gives us drink. We thank you, Jesus. It is a well in us and a river in us, springing up into eternal life. And Lord, today we all have individual needs. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you breathe upon these words now and you speak to each heart that is here. Thank you for the anointing, Lord, to open blind eyes, to set the prisoners free, to heal those that are bruised and the brokenhearted, Lord. And I thank you that you just deliver us completely through the anointing upon the Word of God today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's begin in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1. And before we read this verse, I want to tell you the four words of my message. But I won't, you know, I won't quit there. Just four words. You ever heard a preacher say four words and sit down? It just ain't going to happen. Here's the four words the Lord gave me for today. And this is not our complete message going into the new year. We have some other things that the Lord's laid on our heart. But this is what he put on my heart for today. And it's this phrase. You must take it. Not like, oh, I don't want to take it anymore. No, I'm talking about possessing it. You must take it. The emphasis on the word take. If you're going to inherit the blessings of God in this life, if you're going to lay hold of the things that Jesus died to give you, you must take it. There's some violence involved in that, in that act. Look at 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has given us everything. Say everything.
Everything.
In the King James it says, all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness or virtue. God didn't just call you with some sort of half commitment to get saved. When God called you, he called you out of a glorious, majestic power and said, be saved, Lee Puffy. I'm calling you out of darkness. By his glory and his majesty, he saved you. It was no small thing. God didn't just say, oh, okay, I'll take one more sheep. No. He ran after you, like we sang a while ago. He left the 99 and he chased after you because he wanted you. And it says, he so loved you that his divine power has given you how much?
All
things. Say, all things.
All things.
I declare it to you today. The Lord has given you all things.
Amen.
You say, well, Scott, do you think I'll get hung up on things? Not if you realize who gave it to you. Romans 8:32, my favorite verse in the New Testament. He who spared not his only son, but gave him up for us all, how much more will he not also with him give you freely all things? When you realize who's given it to you, you won't forget the giver. Amen? But God has saved you with a great salvation, and he's given us all things, but you must take it. You must take it. God doesn't play favorites, but here's the experience we have in Christianity. We see a person over here get blessed. We see a person over here get healed. We see a person over here get breakthrough. We see a person over here get their ministry launched. And we feel like God's playing favorites. And the truth is, he's given all of us all things in Christ Jesus. He doesn't play favorites. He's the perfect father. He's got a zillion kids and he loves them all identically. That's a perfect father, amen? You ever watch someone with three, four, five kids and you can see them play a little favoritism? It's called humanity, all right? We're all frail, okay? Nobody's a perfect father, but he's a perfect father. And he's given all of us all things. But you must take it. You must take it. Some 50 times in the book of Deuteronomy, God told the children of Israel, he spoke this word, in the King James at least, it is 50 times. Possess. 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 Let's look at a few verses in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy's really, really powerful book in the five books of the law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. That's what the Bible, if you ever hear a Jewish person say the Torah, that's what they're talking about. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The first five books of the Bible make up the Torah. That's what the Jewish people refers as the Torah. So the Torah, then Deuteronomy, is a powerful book that is part of the Torah. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 10. When the Lord God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give you, a land with, look at this list here. Check out this list. Here's what the land is full of. First of all, it's land. How many of you know that's a great thing? Somebody wants to give you land, that's awesome. If there's stuff that comes along with it, that's great. But how many of you know it all starts with land, real estate. And God says, I'm giving you real estate. And here's what comes with it. Large, flourishing cities. I'm going to read this slowly, okay? So just relax. We're going to read this slowly. He's going to give them land. He's going to give them large, flourishing cities. You did not build. Houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide. Wells you did not dig. And vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. When you eat and are satisfied, be careful you don't forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. But here's what I want to emphasize. Look at all God gave them. He gave them land. He gave them cities, large and flourishing. He gave them houses full of good things they didn't provide. Wells they didn't dig. Vineyards and olive groves they didn't plant. Sounds like all to me. How about you? Sounds like God was basically promising them everything. Like what we just read in Peter. He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. I'm here to declare to you going into the new year. First of all, I'm declaring the grace of God to you. He's given you all. Whatever it is you want, whatever it is you need in Christ Jesus, it's provided. All. That includes land, cities, houses, vineyards, etc. All. But you must take it. You must take it. Look over in chapter 11. I want to read a little bit more about this land that God's talking to the children of Israel about. Here's some more descriptive terms. And I want you to understand, these blessings that are being described here relate to our salvation in Christ Jesus, okay? I know this, in the context, this is talking about the promised land to Israel. But it's symbolic of what he's given us in Christ. Look at Deuteronomy 11 and verse 11. But the land you're crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven. It's a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end. In other words, God says, I've been watering this place for years. How do I know? He's telling Israel, he's saying, how do you know that it's going to be good when you get there? He says, because I've been the caretaker for decades, for centuries. I've been watching over this land. In fact, in the book of Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 6, if you want to note it for your own reference, go back and look at it. He says, he describes it this way, it's the most beautiful of all lands. The most beautiful of all lands. That's the way God described Israel, the land of Israel, or the promised land to his people. The most beautiful of all lands. God said, I've been watering this place for years. Giants are running the place. Think about this. Big, strong people. You talk about farmers that can handle an ox, can handle the plow, they don't even have to get up on a ladder to prune their own tree, their fruit trees. These guys are 9-10 feet tall. These giants that were in the land. God said, God's just been heaven laughing. He said, yeah, I created these giants who have become evil people, but they're doing my work. They're cultivating the land for my people. Here they are trimming the fruit trees without a ladder and taking care and plowing the ground up and I'm watering the ground. Can you see it? God's just saying, for centuries I've been preparing this land for my people. And in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, it says this, be careful that you don't neglect such a great salvation. I want to tell you something. This salvation that we've been given in Christ is no small thing. No small thing. There's so much that's included with it, saints. It's powerful. Amen? We could testify all day long about little testimonies. Every time you have a testimony here in church of God did this for me. Like Brother Jack said, you know, we ate, and we actually, you know, made money. It seems like when we finished our meal the other day. You know, God gives you favor. We were in a restaurant the other day, Terry and I ourselves, just kind of celebrating the afterglow of Christmas. And the waiter, I didn't even notice it, but he made a mistake. And so he brought us extra vegetables on the side. And I was like, man, these are good too. You know, but it was like free, no charge, on the house. Listen, every little blessing that comes in our life like that is part of your salvation. Did you know it? Every little favor is part of the big favor we call salvation. Salvation. It's all wrapped up. That's why, listen, we don't need to be a church that says, well, we're worried about if you preach prosperity, people are going to get materialistic. No, they're not. Because we got the bigger picture.
Yes.
How many of you know we value the saving of our soul way more than we value a Mercedes in our driveway?
That's right?
Yes. Let's don't get hung up on things. We can be blessed, but we know what the greatest blessing is Jesus. It's our salvation. And it's Hebrews describes it, such a great salvation. Don't neglect this great salvation. And that's what God told his people over, and that's why he told them 50 some times in Deuteronomy. He said, listen, I've prepared this amazing land for you, but you got to go in and possess it. Possess it. Look at some other verses in Deuteronomy chapter 2 where he talks about possession. (clears throat) 2:24, he says, set out now and cross the Arnon Gorge. See, I have given into your hands Sihon, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his country. Begin to what? Take possession of it and engage him in battle. Well, I just got some news for you. Some of these blessings that we're talking about in your salvation, if you're going to take possession of them, there's going to be some battle involved. It's not going to come without a fight. God said it to his people. Listen, these Old Testament passages were written for our example, Paul said. It's for our example. It's not just a good Bible story. Oh yeah, it's that too. I mean, these make great bedtime stories. They'll put you right to sleep sometimes. Especially when you get in the, what do you call it, genealogies. But listen, it's more than that. It's an example of what we're to partake of. I'm telling you, Jesus has provided a great salvation. It includes healing. It includes prosperity. Some of you got your wallets blessed here today. I'm telling you, it includes that. That ain't the bigger picture. That's not the greatest thing. The greatest thing is salvation. Hallelujah. Going to heaven, knowing Jesus, falling at his feet and casting our crowns before him. That's the greatest blessing. But all these little blessings come beside. However, many Christians don't take advantage of them. I'll just tell you, because we live in a land of giants. Called the principalities and powers of this dark age, Paul said in Ephesians 6. We're surrounded by devils. Martin Luther said, and though this world with devils filled. I love that line. He had it right. Does he not?
Yes.
And though this world with devils filled. I mean, you know, there's a challenge at every corner for the blessings of God that need to come your way. But you can take it.
Yes.
You can take the giants and you can take the blessing. But God said here, he said, you're going to have to engage him in battle. Look at verse 31 in the same chapter. Deuteronomy 2:31. He said, I'm going to read it in the King James. The Lord said unto me, this is Moses talking, behold, I have begun to give Sihon and his land before thee, begin to possess, that thou mayest inherit the land. God said, if you're going to inherit, you've got to possess. He's given it to us. How many of you know an inheritance involves someone just giving you something? You didn't earn it. Did you earn your salvation? Did you earn favor at the restaurant? Did you earn a good parking space, the blessing of God? Did you earn that good discount at Christmas time when you were in the mall and no one else was getting discounts? And you walked up to the counter, you didn't have your coupon, and the lady said, you know what, I'm just feeling nice. I'm going to give you... That's favor. It's the favor of God. You didn't earn that. It's the favor of God. But we're going to have to possess it. And we're going to be engaged in battle. To take it. It's an inheritance. An inheritance means it was given to you. How many, you know, there's verses all through the New Testament that remind us there's so much freely given to us. Freely given in Christ Jesus. He's freely given us all things. Peter said it. He says, he's given us. How many of you know given means you didn't earn it? He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Take it.
Amen.
You must take it. God told the Israelites, possess, 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 possess. I've given you an inheritance. I've given you this land that I've been watering and watching over for years and years, but you must possess it. And he said, by the way, once you start that possession, it's going to involve engaging in battle. He told them up front. I just think it's humorous. God has such a sense of humor. You know, these little Jewish people stepping into the land of Canaan, and these giants are 9, 10, 11 feet tall. They're built like, you know, Hulks. And God says, ha, watch this. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the size of the giant. If God's given you the turf, how many of you know it's going down? If God's given you healing and you're willing to possess it, to take it, it's yours, baby. If God's given you prosperity in Christ Jesus and you're willing to take it and move into it by faith, it's yours. I don't care if a crazy distant uncle has to, you know, include you in his will at the last minute, some weird, you know, weird relationship, whatever. God has a way of getting prosperity to us. Amen. It can come through the most bizarre means. It doesn't matter. But if you'll take it, you can possess an inheritance you didn't earn in Christ Jesus, because it's been given. The word possess means to occupy by driving out a previous tenant. And in this example of the promised land in the Old Testament, the giants owned this place. You got to realize, it was their turf. And God says, no more. I've just been using you guys to prune the trees. I'm giving it to these people, the little Jewish people, you know, that seem like grasshoppers in their own eyes to you. Compared to you, size-wise, they're no match. But I'm with them. To occupy by driving out previous tenants. I want to say this. In the Hebrew, the word, well, before I say this, I mean, the Lord showed me this morning. He said this, long before you got here. How many of you know, long before you got here, God had good things planned for you and your generation? Amen. And at the same time, the devil's been working. Did you know the devil's been around since before you and I got here? Some of you got stories of your family lineage. You know, grandpa so-and-so or great-grandpa so-and-so was an axe murderer. Why was he an axe murderer? Because the devil was trying to get to you in your family line. He's been working overtime in your family tree long before you and I were born. Example given, Moses. Pharaoh got a little bit intimidated by how fast the Israelites were multiplying in the land of Egypt. They were the slaves, and he enslaved them. And then that wasn't good enough. The babies were still being born faster. And he said, man, we're going to be overrun by these slaves because God's blessing these people. He said, we're going to kill every baby, you know, 2 years old and younger. And so the devil set out to kill Moses before he was even on the scene. He made this law through the Pharaoh. I want to tell you something. God has planned things for you long before you got here.
Yes, amen.
And the devil's been at war. You have to realize this. The devil's been at war with your family line. I need a drink of water because I want to say this really strong. I want you to hear this loud and clear. My voice may not sound real loud and clear. The devil's been at work in your family long before you got here to keep you from receiving what I'm telling you about today. But you're here now, so he loses. Because I'm telling you, if you'll take it, there's some blessings that God has. Because God's always ahead of the devil. But I'm telling you, there's a spiritual warfare that's been going on for decades, for generations. Not just in our lifetime. You understand that? Are you with me? This is true what I'm saying. Some of you were born into certain class financially. I'm just going to be real practical here. Because it's not about money, but I want to get real practical. Some of us in here were born in a certain point in life in the financial realm. And your parents were already there. Your grandparents were already establishing that. But God is saying, I've got this for you out here. But the devil's been trying to suppress your family for generations with poverty. I'm just using that as an example. And the Lord's got this out here for you. Well, guess what? If you're going to taste it and you're going to lay hold of it so your kids can enjoy the blessings, you're going to have to possess it. Because there's been some giants in the land for a long, long time, and they don't want to give it up. Long before you and I got here, there was a devil already at work from our generations, our ancestors, to try to destroy our family. Your family. I'm being specific here. Thank you. Oh, thanks. Reinforcements. Thank you. long before we got here. But you're here today hearing the word, and the word to you is take it, possess it, whatever it is to you, the promise of God to you. And he's got great things for us. Amen? There's a saying, let me say this, the word possess in the Hebrew language, it's interesting, the three letters that make up the word possess in the Hebrew language, because each letter in the Hebrew language also comes with a pictogram. A pictogram, like certain letters mean a human head or an ox or a hand. You know that? You know, we've talked about that before. The word possess is interesting. It has three letters, and it is a picture of the hand, a chief, like the head of a family, the chief or head of a tribe, and the idea of consuming or devouring or being prominent. All right? So this word possess literally could mean the chief hand devours. The hand that is chief devours. There's a modern slogan that's real similar to that, and it goes like this. To the victor go the spoils. You ever heard that? To the victor go the spoils. I'm telling you, in Christ Jesus, spoils have been given to you and to your family, to your children, your children's children. But you must take it. Amen. Maybe your parents didn't take it. Maybe your grandparents didn't take it. Maybe they didn't hear this word preached to them. Maybe they weren't strong enough, courageous enough, but bold enough. Maybe they had some bondages in their life that kept them from stepping in. But you can take it. Yes. But you must take it. Possess. Because the chief hand will devour. Gets to eat the goods. To possess means the chief hand will win the wealth. Amen? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, God gave two generations the opportunity to go into the promised land. The first generation said, no, we can't take them giants. They're bigger than us. And God said, okay, you'll die in the desert. But their kids got to go in. But how many know God's intent was for that first generation? Yes. They just missed it because they weren't willing to fight. And God said, I'll send the hornets in ahead of you. You ever heard that? It's in the Bible. I'm not making this up. And God says, I'll send. It's true. Get my reinforcements here. God said, I'll send in the hornets. You won't even have to fight. This will be a cakewalk. I'll send, how many of you know if God sends in hornets, the battle's won? I don't do bugs, snakes, or hornets. But if they were coming after me, I'd be deoccupying whatever territory I was on. I'd be giving up that real estate real quick. And God said, I'll make it easy for you. I'm going to send in the hornets. And they still refused to believe. Listen, God has done the work through Christ Jesus. It's better than hornets. It's called the cross. He's done all the work for us. I want you to receive this in your heart today, wherever you're at. Because I'm telling you, I'm not all about money, but I know that financial stress is a big stress. It's one of the big causes of divorce in America and throughout the world. And I just want to say this. The cross dealt with poverty. The cross dealt with lack. God has dealt with it through the cross. If you receive it, you can possess your inheritance in Christ Jesus. And it's a strong, sure place financially. He has for us, people. Amen? It's not about a dollar amount. Some people will be content to live on $50,000 a year. Some people need $200,000 to make them happy. Whatever it is, the Lord's not hung up on numbers. Amen. He just wants you to be at rest. Amen? And he died. The Bible says he became poor that we might be made rich. Rich simply means overflowing. You got enough to feel like your needs are met that you feel comfortable giving out. You know, your cup runneth over. That's what David described in Psalm 23. All right, where are we? 2 Corinthians 4. Before we go any further, I want us to stop right here. And I want to challenge you right now from your heart. Because God looked at a generation. He said, will you go in? And they said, no, we won't go in. They listened to negative thinking. They listened to 8 spies who talked about giants, 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 instead of the 2 that talked about grapes, 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 how big the grapes were. But right now, I want you to close your eyes right where you're seated. You don't have to say this if you don't mean it from your heart. But if you mean it, and you're willing to put up a fight, I want you to say this with me. I will go in. I will possess. I will lay hold of all that Jesus died to give me. I will possess it. I will take it.
I will take it.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. I believe He was looking for commitment from us. If you mean that from your heart, then praise God. We're going to take it. Amen. You must take it, though. He's given you an inheritance in Christ, but you must take it. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Why has Satan blinded the minds? So they cannot see how good God is. They cannot see this great salvation I'm talking to you about today. Why does Satan want to blind their minds? Because if they see it, they can have it. Now, I'm declaring that to you today. If you can see it, you can have it. That's only half the battle. But Revelation is about 50% of the battle, I got to tell you. Getting people to understand what's been given to them in Christ Jesus is half the battle. But once you've seen it in here, I'm telling you, once you've seen it, you go, oh yeah, that's mine. I'm not letting that go. Half the battle's won. There is some fighting still to be done. But that's what this verse is telling us. And this is why we look around and sometimes in people will question. They'll say, well, if He's really about healing, how come someone's so sick? Or someone-so didn't get their healing? Or someone-so hasn't been blessed? You know, how come, you know, it worked for someone-so, but it hasn't worked for someone? Listen, you don't know what people are or aren't willing to fight for. I'm getting real practical here, okay? So stick with me. We're touching some this is thin ice. But, you know, winter's almost over, so we'll step out on some thin ice here. I'm telling you, saints, listen. Some people aren't willing to fight. It's in the Bible. I just told you about it. The generation that said, no, the giants are too big for us. You must take it. He's given you everything, but you must take it. You must possess it. And the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light. Why? Because if they see it, they can have it. Did you know in the parable of the sower, Mark chapter 4, three of the four examples, three, not one of the four, not one-fourthly, three-fourths were contested to produce fruit. Jesus talked about four soils. Do you remember?
Yes.
One of them, he said it sprung up quick, but there was no root. And so when trouble and persecution came, what happened? Boom, they gave up the word. Outside forces, people, outside pressures. He said another one, as soon as the word was sown, the devil came immediately and stole what was sown in their heart. Because they didn't understand it, didn't perceive it, didn't take time to really digest it, if you will. He said there was a third group that the cares of life, they got busy. Deceitfulness of riches. In other words, they got distracted by other things, the allurements of this world, and they didn't produce fruit either. Three-fourths of those examples were challenged. Is there giants in the land to keep you back from all that Jesus has provided? Oh, yeah. Distractions, the world, the devil, your own desires, your own busyness. But for those who will hear the word, lay claim on it, possess it,
amen,
they can produce fruit. That's the good soil. I believe that's who we are.
Yes.
Amen. Once you've seen it in a revelation, from revelation comes belief in the heart. And we know from Romans 10 what comes next. You believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. How do you possess your land? You say, Scott, get practical with me here. I'm going to tell you how to take it. That hair. It's your tongue. Your tongue is your sword. Think of it that way. You got some giants to beat back, you got some land to conquer, you're going to have to do some talking. If all you've known is lack in an area, if you've known sickness and pain, you're going to have to do some talking to take healing. I told you a couple weeks ago what my mantra is every year at the holidays. What is it? I'm healthy for the holidays. You think that came without a fight this year? Oh, no. I mean, he tried to knock me off my feet December 27th, and he almost succeeded. I was up in my prayer room swinging a sword, taking communion, speaking the word. I didn't look like much of a fighter, but in here I was fighting. I did some talking. And I possessed my possession because my possession is I'm healthy for the holidays. And we're not done with the holidays yet, so the story hasn't ended yet. It's got a good ending. There was a battle in the middle of the story. Had a good Christmas, a little battle. Hallelujah. I'm in the new year with health. Because the giants won't let the turf go easily. Let me say this. We were in Bible school. They had a class called Deliverance Class. And our book, our curriculum was called Possess the Lamb. I had no clue what that was about. But you know, after you received Jesus in your heart, did you know there's some turf in your life that for years, while you were living like the devil occupied that turf? How many of you got saved after you were 20 years old? Raise your hand real high. You got saved as an adult. Real high. Let me see your hand. Okay. About a third or so of us. So you gave up 20 years, 30 years of your life, letting the devil occupy. And then you get saved. You think he's going to be happy to give up that land that you had given him all those years? No way. And this is what we call, in Christianity, that's what we call deliverance. Okay? Doesn't mean you have to cough up green foam when we pray for you. It just means you got some turf that the devil's not going to be happy to give up as you grow in the Lord. Do you believe that? He's not happy about it. But you must possess the land. Because Jesus came to give you wholeness in every area. If you got wounded emotionally as a child, Jesus wants to come in and heal those wounds. Okay? If you had a mentality that started as a teenager that was warped, oh man, who hasn't? I'm telling you, Jesus wants to unwarp your thinking.
Yes.
And allow you to reoccupy that land in your heart and your emotions. That's called possessing your land. We call that deliverance. Get delivered from bad thinking, right? Are you with me?
Amen.
The turf doesn't go easily. The fight, it won't come without a fight. I'm just telling you. Because the God of this world blinds the mind of unbelievers. How much more so people who get saved? He wants to keep you in the dark in that area. That's what Terry was talking about earlier about pockets. God wants to shine his light in every dark closet we got in our life. How many of you know some of us got them? And it's an ongoing process. It's just saying yes to the Holy Ghost. Saying, okay, Lord, you can have that dark, dirty drawer too. This one over here that smells like dirty socks, you can have that one too. Jesus wants to come and fill your whole life.
Yes, that's right.
And as he does, it's like stepping into the promised land.
Amen.
But you must take it. You must take it. So from a practical standpoint, how do you do it? Your words. You declare. You speak. You lay claim. When God shows you something in here, he gives you revelation. He reveals something to you. You stay around this church long enough, he'll reveal some things to you. Amen? We try to make it all declare. We're trying to declare it all. The full gospel right here from this pulpit. Everything Jesus died to give you. You listen to it long enough, there's going to be some revelation rise up in your heart. And as it does, then you begin to confess it with your mouth. And that's how you take your land. That's your land. It's the land Jesus died to give you. And as you confess it with your mouth, you are taking hold. Listen, James said it this way. Not this James, my brother-in-law, but James the apostle. Look at James chapter 3. We're going to end on this note right here. James chapter 3. I'm just getting warmed up, don't you know? Feeling a little preach coming on. James 3. Look at it with me in your Bible so you see it. I didn't just make it up. It's true. It's in here. James chapter 3. I'm telling you, I want to give you a new year, I want to give you a shot in the arm of hope. Here's some hope right here. James chapter 3. And look at verse 3. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Is that true, Dave and Judy? Can you turn a horse with a bit in its mouth? He will obey, right? Why? Because he has something to stick something in your mouth too. And they start yanking on it, you're going to go the direction they're yanking. Or take ships, verse 4, as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they're steered by what? A very small rudder. Now, this is a powerful phrase. Like, I love this. Hope you'll underline it, highlight it, put blinky lights around it. Wherever the pilot wants to go. I'll help you in your New Year's resolutions. Wherever you want to go in the new year, you're going to have to steer it with your mouth.
Amen.
That's a kingdom principle right there. Wherever the pilot wants to go, you can steer the whole ship if you steer it with your tongue. I'm telling you, I came home from work early the other day. I mean, I was knocked off my feet. But I stood my ground, and I'm telling you, that thing broke. By the next morning, I mean, it was broke. It broke. Why? Because I declared some things, and I stood on my possession. I stood on my confession. I stood firm on it. I didn't give up that turf. I said, I'm healthy for the holidays. I don't care what my sinus passage is saying at this moment as it's dripping and wheezing and pressure in my head. I said, I'm healthy for the holidays. And I steered my ship. And I'm telling you, by the next time, I mean, that thing could have lingered 3-4 days easily. But the Lord broke it, I believe. He broke it with my faith. And he broke it. And I'm telling you, the ship got steered. We changed directions, folks. Praise the Lord. We changed directions. And you can start the new year off this way. You can literally steer the ship wherever you want to go by your words. By your words. You can turn the wheel with your words. He's given you everything. Peter said it. He said he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. All things. They're yours. You know, God's put some dreams in your heart to have this or that in life. Listen, that's been given by Christ Jesus. That's not just a wish. When you got born again, your desires got made in alignment with God. You're a born-again spirit. You're a son or daughter of God. You have good desires now. Did you know that? And what you're desiring, what you're wanting down in here, the vision God's painted in your heart, the revelation he's given you, that's for you to have. But you must take it. You must take it. Stand together with me. The tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. You can set a whole forest on fire in a good way with your tongue this year. Amen. You can change your world with your mouth. And that's what God's given us. Listen, we don't fight with swords and spears. We don't fight physical giants, but we do fight the spiritual realm. And it begins with the revelation God puts in our heart. And then we speak it out of our mouth. That's how we possess our land. You can take it. You can take it this year. I want to encourage you to be possessors in the coming year. Possess and possess some more and possess some more. There's a story, we'll get to it probably in the coming weeks, where Judah was one of the tribes. And it says that they actually went into their land, they possessed their land, and they realized they needed more. So they came to Joshua and he said, well, go possess the hill country. Go possess over there. Take it. You want more? Take it. Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. And everybody's got different faith. God's given you a vision for this, and no matter how grandiose it is, go for it. Amen. It's yours. He's given you all things. Take it. Take it. Father, I thank you for your word today. We thank you that in this new year, that you're giving us the power to possess everything that Jesus died to give us. You're giving us the revelation of it and the Holy Spirit anointing. The power to take what is rightfully ours, we choose to take it in Christ Jesus. I thank you for your blessing upon your people. I declare them land possessors, yes. Kingdom shakers, world changers, yes. Setting their world on fire for Jesus as they possess those things which you've put in their heart to possess in the promised land of Jesus. Amen. 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 God bless you as you go. Have a great week. Happy New Year.